That's one of the main things we need to do is praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Come to worship Him this morning, but we come to praise Him as well. We want to make sure you've been obedient. We talked last time that I preached that if we are willing and obedient, we can eat the good of the land. It's like Brother Garrett was talking about. If we do what God puts on our heart, we'll be able to eat the good of the land. Amen. Amen. He that endureth unto the end, yet shall he be saved. Praise God. All right. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. You might be thinking, Old Testament. Old Testament. Here it goes. Old Testament. Old guy, Old Testament. I love the Old Testament.
Amen.
I love the Old Testament. I can find Jesus in the Old Testament. I don't know if you can or not, but I can find Him in the Old Testament. Every book. He's in there. He's in every one of them. I look for Him. I look for Him when I read the Old Testament, Amen. Brother Garrett. And I look for Him in there. And I found Him in this. We're gonna see Him here in 2 Chronicles, I believe. He's going to show up for us. But I guess the thought on my mind this morning, we all face some things in life. We all face troubles. I guess what really... The question I have for you this morning is, what do we do when trouble comes? In the book of Job, he writes in the 14th chapter in the first verse, he said, man born of woman is just a few days and full of trouble. That pretty much tells us that it's not going to be long before, you know, these little ones are going to grow up and they're going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble in our lives. There's going to be trouble in everyone's life. There's going to be trouble in the Christian's life.
Amen.
Some people, I believe, have the false pretense to think that Christians are exempt from that. I come to tell you, the Christians are going to have trouble.
Amen.
I'm for one can tell you that, and I think most Christians will. But what do you do when trouble comes? What do you do when trouble comes? What do you do when your relative calls you that's got six kids calls you and says, "Hey, I'm going to come over to your house." And they're curtain climbers. They're curtain climbers, and you know that. Huh? Oh, my antiques. My antiques, I got to get those put up, you know, and I got to get all the glass things away. And what do you do when trouble comes? I mean, you know, that kind of loosens you up a little bit. Pray hard. Amen. He's right on the mark with that. Pray hard. What do you do when... You own the mom and pop store down the road that sells groceries, and the news comes through that Walmart's coming to town. We've seen what's happened in our town here with some of the grocery stores and things like that. No longer around. What do you do when you get that call from the doctor says, "Hey, I need you to come in here. I've got something really urgent I need to talk to you about. That test you had done not too long ago, I need to sit down and discuss this with you real. You know that it's serious. You know that something's coming up." Now, I'm asking you a question this morning. What do you do when trouble comes? What do you do when your parents are growing older and you know that their time is limited? What do you do? You see, those are the questions we need to address. And, you know, I found out the answers are all in the Bible.
Amen.
The answer's in the Bible. You know, for all the things that we have to deal with in life, you can always find the answers in the Bible. You might have to dig a little bit. You might have to knock the dust off of it, Brother Garrett. You know, I think that's our problem sometimes. We don't want to knock the dust off of it, you know. What do we do when we lose that precious loved one that, you know, we were so close to? What do we do when trouble comes? What do we do when our children move out of the house? What do we do when children move out of the house and you say, they're no longer under mommy and daddy. We can't watch over them anymore. You had the answer right there a while ago, didn't you, Brother Don? Pray. Pray. Go to 2 Chronicles. Keep that thought in mind. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. Let's go to chapter 6. Let's pick it up in about verse 36. What we need to understand here, this is Solomon's prayer for the people. And you know, we're going to move through 2 Chronicles there a little bit. But when we read this, it's kind of interesting to look at Solomon here, because the temple had just been completed. The magnificent temple had been completed. Thousands of workers had been involved in the temple building. There were good times. The country was having a success. It was good times in the country. And it's interesting to note that Solomon's prayer here, it's almost like he had a premonition. It's almost like that he knew what was going to happen down the road. He knew that his people would soon, through their prosperity and through all of the good things that God had blessed them with, would just turn away from him. You know, through prosperity sometimes, I'm not so sure that's always a good thing, Brother Gary.
Amen.
Because through prosperity sometimes we forget about God. He goes to the back burner, and we don't put God first in our life anymore. But listen to Solomon's prayer here as he talks. Actually, his prayer begins in about 6 and 14. Let's pick it up right there. And said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven, nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Now let's go on down to about verse 36. Let's pick it up about verse 36. We're going to skip some there. We're going to come back to it. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not. That sounds a little bit New Testament there, doesn't it? That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there's none righteous, no, not one. But right there is Old Testament. And you know, it's just a reflection over into the New. That no man sinneth, and thou be angry with them and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto the land far off and near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. In other words, if they confess their sins, if they confess, what does the Bible say in 1 John 1 and 9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do something to cleanse us, right? Not of just the little things or the big things, but of all unrighteousness. You see, right there is a confession. That's what he says. If they have sinned, we have done amiss and have dealt wickedly. And if they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, and thou gavest unto the fathers and toward the city that thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for them, then, there's that word, then hear thou. He's asking God, my people are going to turn away from you. I know that they are. I believe that Solomon sees this. I believe God has given him that in his ability to see. And Solomon is what? He's the man of wisdom, right? And he has that wisdom to see that his people is going to turn away from him. And you read that right there, and he said, then hear thou from heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Solomon here, he knows that his people is going to turn against him. And he's asking God, he said, will you hear, God? Will you hear when they take them captive, when our armies go out and they try to protect our country and they take them captive, will you hear? And if they will get down and they will pray unto you, will you forgive them? That's what Solomon's prayer is there. And I think it's really interesting to note that this is a time of prosperity. This is a time of dedication. He's dedicating the temple. He's dedicating all of this to, if you read in chapter 6, that's what that most of that's about. And then we come to, that's Solomon's prayer. That should be our prayer. We turn away that we could come back. We've already heard that this morning. That if you've once known the Lord at one time in your life, you know, God is ready with open arms to take you back. He's ready with open arms to take you back. But we need to do something. We need to call on His name. We need to pray. And we need to ask God to forgive us of our sin. We look at that and we see that Solomon's praying for that. It's interesting to note that Solomon, in all of his wisdom and things, and he knows what's going to happen to his people. He knows that hey, someday they're going to turn away. They're going to grow up. And they're going to turn away. I like what Brother Garrett said a while ago. He said in the book there, it says, in the Bible it says, I've not seen the righteous forsaken. He said, once I was young and now I'm old, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. That's no guarantee, like Brother Garrett said, that they're going to get saved. But if we train them up in church, if we bring them to church and they hear the word of God, you know what? Just 2.5 years old, that little fella that comes up and prays with me, he's already learned a lot of things that I never thought he'd ever know right by this time. They pick up very quickly on things. And that it's important for us to bring our children to church. In order to face troubles and face those things that we're going to face, we need to understand that God has a response. God is going to respond to Solomon's prayer. If you read on over there in chapter 7 and verse 14, here comes God's response. Here comes God's response. Solomon says, will you do this, Lord? And then over in chapter 7 and verse 14, here's God's response. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, he says, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. See, that's God's response to our prayer. That's God's response. He said, that's what I'll do. But it's like ways presenting it here. It's like, if you do this, then I'll do this. If you humble yourself and pray, and you seek my face, then I'll do this. If you come and you pray and you ask me to forgive you, then I will do this. I will hear from heaven. You see, that's what God is waiting for each and every one of us to do. When we're lost out there in sin, God is waiting for us to do that. When we're Christians or whenever, if you're facing trouble here today, that's exactly what God wants you to do. Is to humble yourself and pray. Amen? Humble yourself and pray. And what do we do with that? Humble yourself. What is that? That means you check your pride in at the door.
Amen.
I heard Brother Jeremy talk about this all the time. That's one of the things they said down there at Marshall, and they might have needed to do that after last night, no doubt, after what we saw on TV, check their pride in at the door, right? You got to leave the pride at home before you come to God.
Amen.
God will hear you if you humble yourself. If you leave the pride behind. But we don't want to do that, do we? We think that we're a proud people, I think. I think that stands in the way of so many people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. God's response to Solomon's prayer, it's what we have to do. If you do this, then I'll do this, God said. We hear it all the time. We got JC, we're working on the potty training, right? I heard his daddy tell him the other day, Jace, if you'll use that potty, I'll buy you a new bicycle, right? Oh, it's moved up to a motorcycle. My goodness.
That's good property right there.
You use that potty, you're going to get a motorcycle. Whoa. You make the honor roll, I'll give you $50. Right? Work reward. When I think of it, you fix supper, honey, I'll do the dishes. Right? I was waiting on somebody to comment on that one. Look for the four things. Pride, listen to what God says to do. Check your pride in at the door. Pray. Please God. Humble yourselves and pray and seek my face. That's pleasing God. When you seek God, you're pleasing Him. Praise the Lord. And repent. I couldn't come up with a fourth P, so repent. Repent is that fourth thing that we got to do. And turn from our wicked ways. Okay? We got to get sin out of the way before we could come to God and ask Him to help us with our troubles. Amen? Solomon, he prayed that prayer and he knew what the people was going to do. We need to praise God. Listen to what he starts praising Him for. Let's pick it up in, verse 12, I think. It says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against the great company that cometh against us. Neither know we know what to do. Our eyes are upon thee. You know, he's a king, but he doesn't sound too prideful right there, does he? He's the king. You know, we might think we're too prideful. We might worry about what people might think of us if we bow ourselves here and pray. You know, I see the lost coming to Christ, you know, up here, and most of the time when they come up here, I see humility. I see humbleness. I see people getting the real thing, Brother Ray. Amen. You know what? It's available to you. It's available to you. It's available to you Christians too. That's what I'm getting at. Is it's available to you Christians. If you need to come and pray, there's the recipe for it. Humble yourselves and pray. In other words, let's start out praising God. Let's start out lifting Him up. Let's start out giving Him the glory and the honor for everything. He is our all in all. He is God and there's no other. Praise the Lord. And we need to understand that. Hallelujah. And if we'll get that pride out of the way, we'll start doing that. Praise God. And we'll start understanding that God is the one that rules over all the kingdoms in this nation. Praise God. God is the one that rules over everything. You know, we think sometimes, I believe that maybe Congress or our president or our government rules over everything. But you know what? God is in control of it all.
Amen.
God is in control of it all. Let me tell you something. If we were... Listen, the ballot box is important. I'm not saying it's not. But I'm going to tell you something. God is way ahead of that. God is way ahead of that. If we will start praying, that's what he's telling them, Aaron. God says, okay, if my people, what? Who are my people? My people are you and I, the Christian people, that we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. He said, then I will hear. I will hear your prayer and I'll forgive your sin and I'll heal your land. You see, that's His promise that He makes. That's His promise that He makes to us when we're in trouble. When we get that phone call that we're not expecting, that's what we need to do is to pray. Is to fall on our face and start praising God for the things that He's already done for us. I think of the time my friends that God has already answered a lot of prayers for Danny. I think of the times that He's already taken care of me whenever I couldn't take care of myself. I remember the times when He's taken care of my daughter when I couldn't take care of her when she moved out of the house. I remember those times, Brother Garrett, and I remember what God's already done for me. And you know, when we start calling those things to remembrance, and we start saying, thanking God and praising God for those things, then I believe God is pleased and He looks down and He says, I hear your prayer. I'm going to hear your prayer and I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to forgive your sin. I'm going to set you right back where you need to be, praise God. And I'm going to try to answer your troubles, amen. Now you might have to go through it for a while. You might have to go through it for a while. And we need to understand it's our time is not God's time. God's got a plan and a purpose for everything. Hallelujah. But he said, Jehoshaphat said there that you are God and you rule over all the kingdoms. You gave us this land. You know what? We look at that pride thing back behind us and we think, well, we've earned this. You know, we've worked hard and we've got all this and we, you know, which all of it's about what we do. But you know what? It's all about what He has given us.
Amen.
He set it all in place. Jesus Christ, our Savior, when He was talking about the old rugged cross there a while ago, I got to thinking that scripture said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who through the joy that was set before us, He endured the cross and He sat down at the right hand of the Father. That's what He's doing right now for the Christian people. He hears our prayers when we come and humble and pray and give Him praise. You know, we may not think, well, nobody knows the trouble that I have. Well, let me tell you something. God knows all about it. God knows all about it. I might not know. Garrett might not know. You may not know, but God knows all about it. He knows exactly where we're at, praise God. And listen, Solomon prayed that the Lord would save them from pestilence, save them from their enemies. And here we got Jehoshaphat, just a few chapters down. There he is facing three enemies coming from all around him. He's surrounded by his enemy. How many of us praise God? Let's ask ourselves that question. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us praise God when we come to him in prayer? You know, sometimes we'll praise God when they're singing a song, things like that. You know, the first thing I want to do is thank God for what he's already done for me. Amen. When I come up here and pray to God, I want to thank him. I want to thank him for saving my soul. Amen. I want to thank him for saving me January the 6th, 2000. I want to thank him for my baby girl that sits over there and brings them two little boys in here. Because I know where she could have been. I know where she could have been if God hadn't had his hand on her. I know that for a fact, and I know God was so merciful. And that's what Solomon was praying for, was praying for mercy. And if you're lost here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm praying for mercy for you. I'm lifting up God. I'm lifting him up in praise, but I'm praying for mercy for you. I'm praying that God will be merciful to you, a sinner. That's all I was, just a sinner saved by grace. Hallelujah. And God saved my soul. And God not only saved my soul, my friends, he started saving my family, amen. Brother Garrett. And I started thinking of that scripture as I've been old, been young, and now I'm old, and I'm not seeing the righteous forsaken nor the seed begging bread. Hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, forevermore. That I know that I know that he's in the saving business because I've seen it, I've witnessed it, and I know, my friends, when I'm in trouble and when I've got a loved one that I don't know if I'm going to get to see him in heaven or not, I'm going to believe it just like it's already happened. See us that one of these days that I'm going to be able to see my loved one over in glory land. Hallelujah. That's how we need to pray. We need to pray in faith, believing. And we got Jehoshaphat here. He's coming up against the armies. He's coming up against them, and they're surrounding him all about with all the trouble. And he comes against them, my friends, and he prays, and he praises, and then he acknowledges God, and he lifts up God's name up before the people. He's serious about what he's doing right there. And if we're going to see this great nation ever turned around, we're going to have to get serious. We're going to have to get serious with our prayers. We're going to have to come to God and start praising him and praying out of our hearts to know that he is God and there is no other. Amen. We're going to have to start doing that. It ain't going to happen in Congress. It's not going to happen with the president election. It's going to happen if God shows his mercy upon this country and this great nation. That's what's going to happen. I like to remember all the good things that God has done for me already when I pray. And we should remember those things as well. What do we do when troubles come? The Bible says that we should cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. The Bible says that we should cast all our cares. Notice here in verse 13. Let's skip down. I'm going to move ahead. Verse 13. And all of Judah stood before the Lord and their little ones, their wives, and their children. It's a family affair. He brought them all out. You notice when people come to pray, hey, we don't want to leave anybody out. Everybody can pray.
Amen.
Huh? If you listen, you can call upon God. Listen, I see Garrett going up there with his children. Amen. I see others coming up here with their children. It's a family affair. This is a serious thing. All can come out and pray.
Amen.
And it says that they prayed there. Everyone prayed. And look what happened in verse 14. Verse 14, and upon Jehazel, which he is a servant now. He is a servant to Jehoshaphat, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, and the sons of Apaseh. Here's something happened here. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. You see, when Jehoshaphat got serious about his prayer, when Jehoshaphat seen that he was surrounded, he seen that trouble was on every side. He started praising God. He got serious. He declared a fast. He said, God, I'm serious about this. I want you to come into my life. I want you to save my soul. Listen, that's what we need to do as sinners, that we need to be serious about this. We need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I want you to save me. I want you to save me. January the 6th, 2000, I bowed my head. I didn't even bow it in a church. I bowed my head on the dashboard of a Ford F-250. And I said, Lord, I want you to save my soul. I said, I pray it in Jesus' name. And guess what? He saved my soul. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord come down. Amen. And he came and he abides and he lives inside of me today. He lives in the temple of every Christian person that declares the name of Jesus today. What do we do? What do we do when trouble comes? Most of us fear trouble and we want to run. Fear trouble and we want to run. You know, God's wanting us to face the enemy. He said, man, I don't want to face the enemy. I don't either. Jehoshaphat didn't want to face the enemy either. So that's what he did. He prayed and called upon God. And then over in the next verse it says, hey, his servant there come and told him, say, hey, this battle is not yours. This battle is not yours. This battle is God's. You see, the Spirit of the Lord comes down. He bears witness with our spirit. And we know that we're children of God, right? Amen. Amen. And when we know that we're children of God, we know that his spirit bears witness with our spirit. And listen, I'm going to tell you what. We can go out and take on the world. Amen. Amen. We know that God's leading the way. We know that God's leading the way for us. We could take on anything in this life. Hallelujah. We could take on anything that the world's going to throw at us if we know that God is going to lead us into battle. Hallelujah. And listen, it said there in verse 15, it says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then he goes on to verse 17. He said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see what the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah, the Jerusalem. Fear not, and nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Hallelujah. Listen, if you look at that, you could get and understand that the king, my friends, has come to the Lord. He started praising the Lord. He got serious about what he was praying about. And listen, if we're in trouble here today, if we're facing troubles or we have faced troubles, we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and know that he is God, and through him and by him there is no other than him, praise God. And then we can understand that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, will go to God on our behalf if we're Christians here today. And he will, my friends, save us. He said he would forgive us of our sins and he would heal this land. Hallelujah. I believe today that we need to, more than anything else in this world, to get on our knees and start praising God. First thing and foremost, start praising God and lifting his name up. Lifting up the holy name of Jesus. The one that saved me by his grace, Brother Ray. The one, my friends, that died upon a old rugged cross. Who gave his life on Calvary that I might be able to have life. And to have it more abundantly. I think, my friends, that Jehoshaphat, he was turned around. And I think us as we battle through the battles that we have, whenever our eyesight starts failing to see us, that we can call upon the Lord, know that he is God and by him there is no other, that God can take control of our battles today. God, my friends, needs to take the lead in our battles. If you've got a loved one that is lost, my sister, I've got to believe that God's going to save him. I believe that with all my heart. You see that God told him, he said, the servant told him, said, you go on out there. And listen, God is going to lead the way. In other words, what's he telling them there? He's telling them to have faith. And that's what it takes, my friends, if you're going to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And if you've got the gift of God, my friends, you've got something pretty important. And listen, if you've got the gift of God, you are a Christian saved by grace today. Let me tell you something, church. You might be surrounded by your enemies. You might have a loved one. You might have a spouse. You might have a wife or a husband that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Have that faith. Have that faith to believe that God is going to save them before it ever even happens. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, my friends. It come to that point in my life to where, listen, trouble come around me so much that I didn't know which way to turn. And I just turned it all over to God, Brother Benji. And I said, God, I'm not going to trust you. I'm going to let you lead for Danny. Listen, Danny can't control it anymore. And then listen, what happened? God took control of the situation. That's where we're at today. What are we going to do when we face trouble? God tells us what he'll do. He said, if my people shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. I've never known God to ever break a promise. That's God's promise right there to Solomon. And just a few chapters down, we see God delivering on that promise to Jehoshaphat. A king that is surrounded, outnumbered, trouble all around. And he surrenders. He said, hey, God, you take control. You take control. And God does. God goes right out in front and runs the battle for us. You may be here this morning. Your faith might be weak. Well, can I tell you something this morning? Faith comes from somewhere. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You may come this morning. You say, man, you don't know my troubles. I don't. But God knows all about it. You might be lost here this morning. You say, hey, I just don't think God can save me. I've just been too ornery. I've been too mean. I just don't know if God can save me. Let me tell you something. There have never been a sinner that God can't save.
Amen.
There have never been a sinner God can't save. I'll guarantee you, if you start asking people around this room to start expressing your most rotten, dirty sin, then none of you would want to air your dirty laundry today, would you? But you know what? God can take your sin, cast it as far as the east is from the west, and he has the great ability, the wonderful ability, not to even be able to remember it. He can cause himself not to even be able to remember your sin. Think of that. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, or you might be here this morning and you walk with Him, you walk close to Him, but you're not right where you want to be this morning. You've not been praising God the way that God wants to be praised. You might be here this morning as a Christian, but you're just not as close to God as you want to be. You know what? That's what this altar's for.
Amen.
To come and what? Humble ourselves and pray. Seek the face of God. You might be here, a Christian, here this morning. You might just have all kinds of trouble. You say, man, I just can't let this burden go. This burden is just dragging me down. I just want to come and praise God. I just want to come and lift His name up this morning. I want to thank Him for what He's already done for me. I want to thank Him. I want to remember the things that He's done for me. You might want to do that this morning. You see, God's pleased when people come and praise Him. And I notice that's the first thing Jehoshaphat wanted to do there. One thing I want you to take with you today, if you don't get anything else from it, God will do what He says He'll do. God will do what He says He'll do, even as if it hadn't even already happened. If it hadn't already happened, see, He hadn't won the battle yet. He goes on to win the battle. If you read the rest of it right there, he goes on and wins the battle and has great spoil. I mean, it's a tremendous victory. But see, He's telling him to go out there and say, hey, go ahead out there. Go ahead and face that enemy, because I'm gonna go out in front of you. One thing I want to encourage you to do, see, they had to have faith. They had to believe. You see, I hadn't seen that yet. What is faith? I like to put faith this way: believing in something you can't see, obeying when you don't understand, and enduring when you don't even feel like it. That's a pretty good description of faith. Pretty good description of faith. Believing in what you can't see when you don't always understand. You don't have to understand everything. All you need to understand is that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross, that He gave His life on Calvary. And by that sacrifice, He made you being able to come to God. You see, we're separated from God with our sin, but by His sacrifice, we're able to come together. That's what He wants for you this morning.